You need a velocity of 88 miles an hour to activate a zombie takeout and make the next episode. Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got some feedback from Bodo. This was on Twitter. He said, at Zombie Takeout, geez, guys, it's a sci-fi movie about a mega snake, not a doc. Great to hear you all again.
That's good to hear that Bodo's doing well.
As I explained last time, I'm fascinated by snakes. I have been since grade school. So I'm going to get a little nitpicky.
The snake fucking turned the TV off.
Yeah.
What do you want from me? There's suspension of disbelief and a little, you know, bending of scientific rules whatever, but the snake turned the TV off and caused radio interference.
That was the interesting thing, because maybe with its mouth or even its tail, it could hit the right button or move a dial.
No, sure. As it was moving near, the radio was breaking up. Like,
that's the interesting. What does it have? Does it have some kind of plate in its head?
Of course it fucking does. All right.
So on to this week's movie, which is from 2018, The Last Sharknado, It's About Time. Of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by bad CGI. Sometimes it's the right choice.
It's sponsored by... Oh, hell, did we really sit through six of these?
Two of them are perfect scores, bear in mind.
Oh, yes, of course. I can't believe I've got to do this. Okay, so we pick up with our heroes.
Hero, in this case, because Finn's alone.
That's right, Finn is alone. And he's, not really, because the first person he's with is a masked person, and, you know.
He talks to a hologram of his son.
Yeah.
Not played by Dolph Lundgren this time. It was M. Stephen Felty doing the voice and another actor as the hologram. So Lundgren wasn't in this one.
His son is played by a number of people in this, actually.
Well, yes, but in that beginning, that originally was Dolph Lundgren in the last movie. It's right. Not Dolph Lundgren anymore. But yeah, he speaks to the hologram, ends up back in time in prehistoric time.
Right. They start off in prehistoric times, and you know, he gets the whole band back together. They do the sin that a movie just should not do. As you know, once you've killed somebody, just the, no, they didn't really die. Here they are again. And if that's something that irks you like it does me, this movie is just going to piss you off because they do it throughout the entire goddamn movie.
What's the conceit of the movie? That his son, nobody actually died. None of the known players died during the course of the series. They were pulled out of history just before they died.
Yeah. So
the main team, we have Brian, the Judah Friedlander's character from the second movie, and later Sky, Vivica Fox's character from 3, who show up again because Gil, the younger, their son, pulled them out of time right before their death.
Yes, so he went through time to pull them from their deaths so they don't die, but he stored them in prehistoric times. So yes, that's the one sin. Then of course spoiler, at the end of the film, no one's dead.
Oh, of course.
Even an actor who died last year was in this.
See, this is what separates the people who are... Okay, well, I'm not going to interrupt.
All right, so they pretty much go through each time period to destroy a Sharknado. Prehistoric times, the Middle Ages.
Specifically Camelot.
Yes, Camelot, of course. Then they go through the Revolution, then the Old West... Then the 90s, and then, 213 they go to?
It was 2013.
Right. And then back to 2013. And I guess we could say hilarity ensues. Oh, actually, wait a minute. The 60s.
Oh, yeah, they were in the 60s briefly.
I forgot the 60s, yeah.
Before the 90s. Spelling as Ian Ziering's mother. That was great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
This movie is really a love letter to the real fans. Because it steers completely into the camp. Everything bad about Sharknado, it steers directly into.
And I think they really had something going with, the Middle Ages especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was definitely the strongest time period they had out of all of them. And then after the Revolution, it just kind of fell apart for me there.
There's a scene before they get to that in the prehistoric times.
All right.
But the way they get out of it. They're riding a pterodactyl using a giant baseball bat that Brian was still carrying from the Mets game and hitting meteorites into a Sharknado. At one point, their feet, he's
feeding the shark Finn meteorites. Jumps off of the
pterodactyl, gets on a megalodon, starts steering that towards the meteorites so he could eat them and turn into a bomb that he then sends into the Sharknado. That's what this series is about.
And that was great. The prehistoric part, the medieval part was great.
And I got to shout out the opening credits too. It's his animated section.
Yeah, the whole cartoon thing, yeah.
Hitler turns out to be a shark. And they show Brian starting to change there.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the change. It was probably one of the better parts of the movie too.
Well, Deborah Wilson plays Brian for the medieval section. It was
just inexplicable.
And she's conveniently a physics teacher.
Right.
And we also have Neil deGrasse Tyson as Merlin, which is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And Marina Sirtis as this kind of attendant of Camelot.
I did not even recognize her.
I thought it was Jane Leaves at first. I looked it up. It was Marina Sirtis.
Yeah.
And Alaska Thunderfuck as Morgana, which was brilliant.
It's brilliant. She's annoying, but brilliant.
And there were dragon sharks. And of course, Finn manages to pull out Excalibur, and it looks like a chainsaw. And
a chainsaw. Yeah.
Could have done again.
Well, I don't know. Were you still on the Middle Ages?
No, I was going to shift to Revolution. So go ahead.
Yeah, the Revolution is really where this all just they had nothing after that. I mean, there's a little bit of good casting in there, but a lot of
Ben Stein I could have done without.
I thought Ben Stein as Hamilton was one of the better parts actually, but
I have issues with Ben Stein, but.
Hammond as Washington is pretty unimaginative.
Yeah, there wasn't anything. That scene was really just to set up the drama that comes later with Nova trying to save her grandfather.
And then, Ben Franklin there for no inexplicable reason.
Yeah, fun to see Leslie Jordan in anything, though.
Yeah, they should have just had Leslie Jordan as George Washington.
Yes, agreed.
And The Offspring? What the fuck that were The Offspring doing there?
Come Out and Play was on the soundtrack.
Well, right. They start playing Come Out and Play, and I'm like, why are they playing this song? Because it took me a while to figure out that, those are the guys from The Offspring.
Oh, they were in the movie? I didn't recognize them.
They were the British, the British seamen.
Oh, okay.
In fact, Dexter Holland even says, what's he say? Does he say Come Out and Play?
Okay, I'll have to rewatch that part.
Yeah, that was that. See, I mean, it took me a while to figure that out. Just why are they playing The Offspring? What year is this?
I just figured it was a random choice for the scene. I didn't really put it together.
But no, it was that was them in there. And so, I mean, it is a Sharknado movie.
So, yeah.
And they give us like this. They try to set up this whole dramatic thing that no one is going to give a fuck about.
There's a bit of drama later again with Nova trying to save her grandfather.
Right. It's just utterly just hampered with this,
It didn't really fit, but it kind of worked for the movie for me in the sense that it didn't fit. A Sharknado movie can't be too bad for me. Because once you have them on the, once they were on the pterodactyl with the bat and the meteors, it really couldn't fail it for me at that point. I will say that the drama, particularly in the 90s section, was a weak spot. But well, before we get to that, the Old West. Nice to see Dee Snider as the sheriff.
I don't think he ever went away, did he?
I'm an old hair metal fan, so yeah, it was nice to see him.
He's all right. I mean, he had his lines.
They threw a couple of Twisted Sister references in, of course, and this is where they bring back Sky, Vivica Fox's character from Sue.
But then there were just, I mean, yeah.
And it does raise the question, that part, they used, throughout the movie, they're carrying April's robot head, even though real April was sent back in time and she's, you know, part of the group.
Right.
And in that section, they use robot April's head to destroy the Sharknado because she can shoot lasers.
Right.
Why don't they just do that for all of them?
Oh.
You know.
She ran out of charge at one point later on.
Later in the movie, I think they were on the boat when she you know, ran out of battery power. Then it was on to the 60s. Of course, this was Gilbert Gottfried's appearance because he has to be in a shark in the
movie. And that's a brain in itself for the movie, obviously. You can't go wrong without Gilbert Gottfried there.
As I said, Tori Spelling as Finn's mother, that was perfect casting. Although the actor that played his father, Gil, the older, looked older than Hoff was in the 80s. This guy was like, you know, in his 50s, in the 60s, Hoff was in his 20s in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know he was supposed to be Hoff.
Well, that's Gil. That's his, that Finn's father.
Oh, right, Hoff. Right.
This guy becomes Hoff somehow and ages and gets about 30 years younger. No,
like I was trying to keep all that straight. I thought Hoff was April's dad. No, that's Finn's dad?
Yeah, it's Finn's dad.
Okay.
Yeah, Gary Busey is April's father.
Busey and Bo Derek are... Yeah.
Those are her parents, and Hoff and Cheryl Teagues are Finn's parents. So, yeah, the age didn't quite work with Hoff, or with Gil, the older. And they say, okay, future boy, tell us something that hasn't happened yet as a way to, you know, convince them that they're from the future. Love that one. Thomas, of course, they set up the whole moral conundrum at this point because they go to the 90s and we find out why she's called Nova, which is nice. And there are a couple of obvious 90s references. The Spice Girls and Titanic were dropped just to, like, tell you, yes, we're in the 90s. That was a little heavy. But back in Camelot, Nova had stopped Finn and April from talking to Gil because if he finds them, he'll stop looking and, you know, it will screw everything up. But now she wants to change everything by saving her grandfather. So he gives her a lecture about that. Bernie Capel was a nice cameo. Nice surprise cameo. The doctor from the Love Boat is the captain of the...
Oh, yes. I first thought that was Adam West. I'm like, is this his last role?
Bernie Capel from the
Love Boat. Bernie Capel from the Love Boat, yeah. Captain, finally.
Yeah. In one scene, him and Nova are fighting over the wheel of the ship, or the boat. A woman in her 20s using both hands and a guy in his who is, I looked it up, 85 with one hand. It's a fight.
I really didn't know that dude was still alive, actually. Yeah. I mean...
I didn't until I saw him in the movie. I had to look up how old he was.
Oh, wow.
Loved the Princess Bride reference. Nova walks out to, you know, on the edge of the boat, sees the shark that, you know, is coming after them and says, you know, my name is Nova Clark. You killed my grandfather. Prepare to die.
Oh, right. I think they've used that before, didn't they?
I haven't caught it before.
I thought they used that.
Not possible.
Not in the same way. I think not with the same character.
No, of course. And they really like killing April in these movies because they've done it like 3 times.
Yeah. I guess it's the fun of casting Tara Reid.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of sick fuck, you know, writes bits to kill the... to kill a specific woman.
Go back to the Tuesday afternoon show if you want an explanation for that. Anyway. The last 20 is when it really got fun for me, because they just got weird.
Yeah, that whole, like, insane... Right. First, when you go from, like, the multiple Aprils, I mean, that, then you're right.
They go to whatever, 20,013.
It does pick up in 20,013, yeah. Of course.
Because we have a flying robotic shark that was just kind of awesome. And then multiple robotic Aprils that do that whole creepy talking in unison thing.
Yeah.
And we get the return of the laser chainsaw. Which is probably my favorite part from the entire series.
And when we have the space-time continuum,
mm-hmm.
I guess falling apart, where we just have historical cameo figures popping out of everywhere.
And before that, he faces down the lead April, robotic April.
Yeah.
Who they do like a Borg Queen thing, where like half of her body lowers onto the other half.
Oh, right.
And you know, they're fighting over, because she wants to keep Finn's DNA to clone him, you know, for her robotic army, and she's got April's actual body there somehow.
Right, that didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a robotic April, how is there a real April?
Yeah.
You can't have them both.
And then, probably my favorite part, they went back to the beginning of the first movie. the ship at the beginning of the first movie. I loved that. It was just a nice callback.
Live again.
Well, no, not the very end where everybody at the bar. Before that, the boat at the beginning of the first movie.
Oh, right. With the right. That's right. They were making. I vaguely remembered that, but as I was watching, I was like, yeah, because I remember the first one beginning with them on that boat and that deal that went south that had absolutely nothing to do with anything.
No. Complete red herring at the beginning of the first movie. I love that they called back to that.
That they come back to this little insignificant part of the first one. That was a nice touch. Yeah.
And of course they're fighting off the Sharknado with the guys, the criminals from the beginning of that were one of them, because the other one dies real quick.
Yeah.
And then the capacitor gets activated again in the Sharknado, and we have all manner of historical figures coming through time.
So have you looked up any of those cameos that they've thrown at us? I did, of course. What are the highlights? Latoya Jackson.
Okay, I saw her in the credits, but was she the one?
Cleopatra.
Yeah, okay. That was her.
Cato Kaelin was a Viking king.
Oh, wow. I should look those up.
But not many others, honestly, from what I remember.
Those are the two highlights.
Not many jumped out. I think even the stunt casting, this kind of, I mean, aside from Neil deGrasse Tyson, it kind of fell short a lot of the stunt casting on this.
And maybe the most absurd part of the movie at this section, too, because we have April's disembodied robotic head.
in a shark mouth.
Well, in the Sharknado, before it's in the shark mouth, where they're kind of flying through the Sharknado, and somehow she headbutts the capacitor, which is this handheld device they're using to time travel, to Finn. How does she do that when she's a disembodied robotic head?
Yeah.
And she somehow ends up in a shark's mouth.
Controlling that shark.
Yeah. Although there's a bit where robotic Queen April and Finn are fighting over the capacitor that reminded me. It just made me think, give me back my Lochnar, you bitch. Or whatever the line was from Heavy Metal. Because they're fighting over it, and she practically says something like that. And yeah, she evil robotic April is beaten by a good robotic April's head in a shark's mouth. And Finn is literally hit in the head with a kitchen sink.
Yeah, that was a nice touch too.
Yeah. And then we go back to the beginning like nothing ever happened. Because of course they do.
Yeah.
That's was great. Really bad. It was great to see John Hurt as George, particularly when he walks out carrying the stool.
He died last year.
Well, yeah. Apparently, this was filmed beforehand, or
they just kind of did like a CG, you know, found footage kind of.
Yeah. But it was just a nice callback to George with the stool. And it was great to see Gemini again, the Chuck of the series. Or no, it wouldn't have been Chuck, because Chuck started and then left. She kind of came in briefly and filled in for Nova for one movie. I did get a little emotional with Ben's speech, just because I love these movies and, you know, they're coming to an end. And, of course, it ends with Al Roker.
Yeah, it had to end with Al Roker. He hadn't missed one of these yet.
Yeah. Now, at the 66-minute mark, when they go to the future, Finn says, I wonder what Deadpool movie we're on.
Right.
It was a reference to the Deadpool 2. Where Deadpool finds out the Cable's from the future and says, you know, I have three questions then. One, is dubstep still a thing? Two, which Sharknado movie are we on? And three, and at what point do I need to say enough with the robotic arm? So, you know, Deadpool referenced Sharknado.
Reference them back.
And there was a joke that was cut. When Finn and Skye are on the boat looking for the capacitor, she says, we have a problem. According to the closed captions, her line is, Whitney Houston, we have a problem. But for some reason, they cut it.
That's weird. I don't know why they would cut that.
And just a little Easter egg, Petunia, stuffed opossum, which is in each of the movies, is in Finn's bar at the end.
And actually, I have an IMDb credit for Petunia now.
Mm-hmm. But now, yeah. Obviously, no sequels and remakes, because this is the end of the series.
Yeah, I think... I think they pushed this on for as much as they could.
Well, yeah. On to Brains.
On to Brains.
Like I said, this one really steered into the camp, and it was a love letter to the fans. Someone I know on Facebook is another big Sharknado fan. She loved it just as much as I did. I think you really have to appreciate the badness of these movies. It's the same reason I love Resident Evil. And they really steered into it and gave us the most perfect send-off they could. I gotta go 5.
This is easily the worst of the series. It's, that segment in the Old West was just, wow. I mean, it was so not trying. I think once they left the Middle Ages, you could pretty much fast forward it until they get to 20,013. But of course, you still had Gilbert Godfrey.
Mm-hmm.
You had a Baba Booey reference in there, which I thought was funny as hell. So I'm going 2.5.
All right. And what have you learned?
Quit while you're ahead. I mean, 4 would have been enough to have cut it off at 4.
All right. So that's it for the Sharknado movies. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a like and subscribe if you haven't. Until next time, and we'll be paying tribute to the late, great Neil Simon, who passed away recently. I think we decided on Sunshine Boys.
Yes.
That'll be next week. And until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are.
Semper Paratus.